Let us worship God. We have come to worship the joy of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Around the world this day, the Universal Church celebrates the reign of Christ. Christ Jesus, friend of the poor, the meek and the merciful, has been enthroned above all authority and power in this world and in the world that is to come. God has placed everything under Christ's wounded feet, appointed the one who wore a crown of thorns as the supreme head of the church, his body. And to sing to him, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne.
Of joy, prayer, and praise.
We approach God in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we have come from a variety of places, and we carry within us all sorts of thoughts and feelings. But our chief purpose is to honor you, to affirm your Son as ruler of all, and to seek your Spirit to bind us to you and all your glorious triune purpose for our lives. We bring our hopes and our fears. Our hopes and fears for ourselves, our families and our neighbourhood. Our hopes and fears for our work and leisure, for this congregation, for our country and for our world. We come as we are to seek your forgiveness and your favour, your guidance and your gracious touch upon our lives. Your wisdom and your word of inspiration and direction for the time ahead. You, Lord God, are the true shepherd of your people, the true leader of your people. To honour you in daily life and in gathered worship is our chief purpose. To know you in the glory of your presence is our destiny and our delight. To serve you is our high calling and our ever-present task. May your Spirit tie us with bonds of love to these things for the sake of Jesus Christ. O God, the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you, help us to know you, that we may truly love you, so to love you that we may fully serve you, whose service is perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to also say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, welcome everybody to the service. I suppose you're thinking, well, we should be welcoming you back. And of course, most of you have done so as I came in. You may be interested to know that the last week when I worshipped, I was in a massive building. The worship centre alone was 70 metres by 70 metres square. The roof was probably twice as high as this. The walls and the roof had sound baffling panels so that the acoustics in the place was truly amazing. And the times I went, there were 2,200 and 2,500 people gathered for worship. I suspect that that minister of that congregation, as you looked around, had even more difficulty naming everybody than I find myself as I look around here. It was a very interesting service, and very, very professional. Sorry, Gary, you know, no reflection on you, but very, very professional media. You know, they had a big console and three or four people. They had videos with music and professionally prepared promotions for the variety of activities. It was like watching a TV program with a commercial break. And the minister spent 20 minutes promoting all the stuff that went on within the service. So you had half an hour of singing with a 15 band and 8 person singing group, 15 person band and 8 person singing group, and the singing, as you can well imagine, was excellent and was the modern sorts of songs, in Portuguese of course, which didn't bother me much. I could stand there and shake my body as well as anybody else without knowing what the words were all about. But then there would be these promotions of the variety of activities. And they were like TV commercials, I tell you. That was amazing how well they were done. And then the minister would get up and he'd give 20 minutes telling everybody about what they've just seen, and then urging them to participate in the appropriate activities and so on. And then there was some more thing. Anyway, you'll get to hear about this over the next few weeks as I share bits and pieces with you. But it was a 2-hour service, just so that you know. And you'll be pleased to know that I've decided not to carry on that tradition, okay? So, included in the service, of course, was a focus on the Word of God. And the sermon was 45 minutes. Again, I've decided not to take on that tradition. I tell myself I can say in English in half that time what it took him to say in Portuguese. Portuguese, I think, takes more words. But that's my theory, and that's what I stick to. But we pay attention to the scripture and we pray for illumination. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, bless us with your spirit, soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence, sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth, shape our wills that we may desire your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading is from Ephesians 1:15-23. Paul's prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers and ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you, so that you will know him. Ask that your mind may be open to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death and seated him at his right-hand side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and lords. He has the title superior to all titles of authority in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who himself completes all things everywhere. Hear this, the word of God.
We hear and rejoice.
And our next reading is from Matthew 25:31-46, the final judgment. When the Son of Man comes as King and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison you visited me." the righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and we welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I will tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. Hear this, the gospel of our Lord.
An appropriate hymn following that gospel text is "When I Need the Neighbour, Were You There, Were You There?" Wherever you travel, I'll be there was part of my experience in Brazil. Because even though there was that incredible crowd of people, and you felt a bit lost among them, and of course the service was in Portuguese, although I could have gone to an English language service, I popped into that But that was about 20 people, and it was a tight stuff enough that, no, I'd rather be in the live version, even if I can't understand exactly what is said. I could understand a surprising amount, mainly I suspect because my mindset is theological and biblically grounded, so I picked up key phrases. Maybe I misinterpreted exactly what he said. He may have preached on a text like this morning and I might have heard familiar sounding words, but in reality he might have been preaching the opposite to what I might be sharing with you in a moment or so. But the point is that there is no doubt that one had a sense of the presence of God there in a totally different environment, as much as one has a sense of the presence of God in this community of fellowship here. And I'm not one who knocks huge congregations and all that sort of stuff, but I value the intimacy of a congregation. I wouldn't object if this became 2,500. I'm sure we'd cope, but it is still nice to know everybody by name. We were called upon to vote yesterday, and I'm glad it was yesterday and not coming Saturday, so you've all had your vote, so what I say I can say fearlessly without being accused of trying to influence how people vote in politics. Not that I'm going to say much about that. In our democracy, the point I want to make is that we all take the responsibility for what happens in our community. We vote at local council elections because we want councillors to put into practice what we think is important for our community. And we vote for state and commonwealth governments in our democracy because we have, again, ideas about what's important state-wise and what's important as a nation in terms of how we wish to live and in terms of how we wish our resources to be allocated to what we believe is important in a democracy. And I have to remind myself about this quite frequently because you have political commentators and even politicians when they want to attract popular attention talk about government versus the people. It's not the case. The government are the people whom we have elected, the people like us, and they make decisions within the context of where we have placed them. Those of you who are on parish councils or church councils will know that even in that very limited role of authority, what decisions that are made are not as easy to make as it is to make a comment on a situation or an allocation of resources when we chat amongst ourselves after church over a cup of coffee or tea or something. And we need to be aware of the humanity of our politicians and the reality where they find themselves. When I was the chairperson of the Social Questions Commission of the Victorian Council of Churches, we met in the location only about 300-400 metres from the Victorian Parliament, and I extended an invitation to politicians to meet with us once a month, purely for prayer support. There was to be no agenda. There was to be no, there was to be no commenting or trying to put your point of view about any sort of issues. It was purely to recognise them as people who needed the prayers of the church to make the decisions that they were called upon to make. And it was fascinating. We got about 20 politicians from all of the variety of political parties, who, including the Premier then, John Cain, who really appreciated the fact that they could come to a ecumenically called prayer time where we prayed for them as people who have to make decisions which affected all of us. The ones whom we elect to government according to our constitution, and that's the beauty, isn't it, and democratic understandings, they're there because we put them there. And that's worth remembering in the context of the text which came to us this morning. All nations. The phrase, how is it interpreted? There's two ways in which that phrase may be understood, and they are not necessarily exclusive. But it's important that we recognise that the focus is on peoples. The Greek word is ethne, from which of course we get the word ethnic. It's not talking about nations necessarily in terms of the modern nation state, but it is talking about groups of people collectively who stand in judgment before the Lord of judgment. And the question is, as they stand there in their ethnic groups, their collectiveness, whether it be tribes or nation states, are they also being judged individually or collectively? And seeing both interpretations are possible, we would be foolish to pretend that it's only as individuals that we will be judged. And if we are to be judged as a nation, how would that judgment come down on us in terms of how Jesus describes the content and the criteria of that judgment? This is the only clear picture that we have given by Jesus as to what criteria is used for judgment. And so it's important for us to pay attention to what the criteria are, collectively and individually. I go to the local medical clinic. I go there because of Bald Hills. It's an 8-minute walk from where I live, and I can see myself going there in a mobility scooter sometime in the future if necessary. And you just ask for whichever doctor is available. Some people ask for a specific doctor once they get to know some, but I maintain it doesn't hurt to have a different medical mind. Just flick over your chart, because they might see something that a regular doctor might have missed. And anyway, I've got a very conscientious doctor who put me through a whole series of tests. He reminded me that at my age, prevention was better than cure. And he, in fact, made the point that he's authorised to set up a healthcare plan for people my age. I wish he wouldn't have kept reminding me about the people my age. But that this healthcare plan included a variety of blood tests and scans and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, to cut a long story short, it now appears that in spite of the fact that any doctor can see me, he sees himself as my personal physician, and I get Kurt's letters every 3 months asking where have I been, and and so on. Well, that's all right. The point is I get these checks, and because of those checks, he's discovered stuff about my cholesterol, discovered stuff about my blood pressure, discovered stuff about vertebrae in my back and all sorts of interesting things and thyroid glands that I wasn't aware of. And we have a healthcare plan which keeps things in balance. In a way, I would like to suggest that the text which came to us this morning is like a checkup, a wellness check. We are who are God's people, who pride ourselves in being obedient to God, loving and serving God. who gather for worship, who at appropriate times recite the Apostles' Creed and occasionally even go as far as to recite the Nicene Creed. We who have an understanding to some extent of the interrelationship between Father, Son and Holy Spirit, how God works in our world and all this sort of stuff, it's good to have a wellness check in terms of the test that the Lord of Lords and King of Kings will put before us when the time comes. When did you feed me? When did you clothe me? When did you shelter me? When did you visit me in prison? Now, remember that in biblical times, prison was not just a thing for punishment so much as people who got themselves in strife politically or in debt were the ones who were in prison. Paul was in prison not because of punishment but because he had appealed to Caesar, for example. And certainly they didn't have 30 or 40 years of imprisonment. They might have 30 or 40 years of galley service, but that was not what we would, you know, like imprisonment in our sort of days. I'm not trying to say therefore we should ignore our prisons as such, but it is just important to keep that in mind. And so that's the criteria that Jesus is put before it. This is the blood test, if you like. This is the scan. No longer do you just say x-rays, I've discovered. You say scans of all sorts of ways in which they can find out stuff about your body. Jonah's son's partner, now wife, is expecting the first child, and I was dragged along when she went and saw her gynecologist, and this woman ran some round thing over her womb, and there before our very eyes was the pulsating infant to be born at 5 months, waiting for the next 4 months before she popped out. Sorry ladies, putting it like that, but before she was born and began to share life with us. And it was fascinating, a little bit, made me a little bit squeamish, but fascinating. Well, this is, if you like, God's scan on God's people. How do we measure up? How well are we really when we think of the criteria which is placed before us in this gospel text? It's not a comfortable text in as far as that we don't like to think of sheep and goats going in one direction and sheep in the other direction. Why are the poor goats being picked on? Aren't all animals equal in God's sight? The animal liberationist folk may well argue, and I ask that seriously. Whatever the meaning of that is, and a lot of work has been done on what's meant by eternal, which I won't go into this morning, but suffice it to say that whatever the meaning is, the intent is to alert us to the reality that there are consequences to our action or inaction. Not doing something seems to be what makes people goats rather than sheep in the eyes of the one who does the judging. Not visiting, not clothing, not sheltering, not feeding. Sins of omission, I suppose, would be a theological term for that. Finally, I'd like to make a very interesting point that escapes us at times. Neither those who did these things to those who needed such services, nor those who didn't bother doing these things, realized that in the midst And within those who needed such services, Christ said he was himself. When you drive around, as I did from where we lived, distance similar to Petrie into the centre of Brisbane, into the centre of Sao Paulo, only it takes about an hour and 45 minutes because of the traffic. And because you crawl along, everywhere you've got these vendors who come down from the Fagellos or the slum housing, you know, if you like, to the highway, and they stand there with the bottles of water and their potato chips and whatever else, and that's how they make their living. As well as that, you've got people who try to juggle and try to pretend they're jugglers, hoping you'll give them a couple of pence, or equivalent of a couple of pence or cents. And then you've got people who just stand there with their hands out because they were not able to get, or haven't got the money to buy goods in the first place, and they're not able to arthritic or whatever, to juggle. In other words, you've got people by the hundreds alongside the road constantly asking for assistance from those of us who travel past in air-conditioned comfort. Not zipping along, crawling along, it would be quicker to walk a lot of the time, but basically what one learns is never to make eye contact. The moment you make eye contact, you're a goner. In the sense that you can't pretend that you're not moved by their plight. And then once you open the window and give something to one, it's like ants discovering honey on the ground somewhere. All of a sudden, you know, they come from everywhere. And I say this purely in a sense of horror at the situation. There's 45 million people in Brazil who live below the United Nations established poverty line. 45,000 out of 200,000. And you've got estates with magnificent mansions. I don't know the Brisbane version, but in Melbourne, those of you heading off back to Melbourne, Doncaster, think Doncaster and that suburb that's just forward, sort of... even Turak. And around those mansions, between the road and the river, which is usually like an open drain or sewer, no matter how vast and wide, you've got these illegal housing communities. It's a place of incredible contrasts. And I'm not sure how I could cope as a Christian worshipping in this place where I was, where the worship centre was only one of the main rooms. They had two other worshipping rooms. They had a bookshop cafeteria area. They had about six smaller rooms the size of this chapel for other activities and so on. It was a massive industrial site turned into a worship and community centre. The point is, the challenge is there and we cannot avoid it. And we will be reminded that the Christmas file and with the variety of appeals that come to us through the mail, and maybe some of them get mentioned in the news, that we think as to how we distribute our Christmas giving in terms of buying a goat in someone's name here that will help a family survive overseas somewhere and so on. The point is, this is the only clear picture we have of the final judgment. And it doesn't mention anything in the sort of stuff that Paul might hint at, or that John in his epistle, first epistle, might hint at about correct belief, appropriate understanding of being sin and appropriation of sin and stuff like that. It is simply, have you fed, have you clothed, have you sheltered, have you visited in prison? Amen. Christ is the world in which we move. Now, I believe we are not familiar. Well, I'm familiar with it, but that doesn't mean I can sing it, but I'm familiar with it. And so we're going to listen to the music. And are you going to sing Lowell for us the first time? Ah, right, okay, you're going to follow it there. But could you come here and stand by the microphone when we do sing it to guide us? No? Well, I thought I'd be brazen. I'll have to play for him anyway, yep. Thank you. anybody of Scottish descent here? Did you recognize the tune, Mr. R? No. All right. We bring our offering to God. Respond with a prayer or a reading. We may not be hungry. We may not be parched from thirst. We may not worry about health care or have to wear clothes tossed aside by others. Find themselves in such lives. So may these gifts we offer, that your community of compassion, this we ask in the name of Jesus. Thank you. And thank you also for the way you work at singing that hymn. We'll have it again so that it gets entrenched in our minds.
The tune, yes, as well as the words.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to especially welcome back Vision and Christina from Fiji. Nice to have you here. And they've just became grandparents last week. Congratulations. And Norman, we welcome you too, and any others who are visiting this morning. The notices are on your notice sheet, and I assure you I'm not going to take 20 minutes to go through these, which I might have done in Brazil. The main thing to remind you of is that on Wednesday at 10:30 the service down at PM Village will be conducted by Ted, and everyone of course is welcome to go to that. Please take time to read the other items in your news sheet, and welcome back to Louis too. Good to have you back with us. On the back there's a note regarding donations of items as Christmas gifts that the prison chaplains can give out to people in prison and also to their families. Now, Jeanette's looking after that, but just like to remind you that you need to bring them by next week at the latest. Or maybe a little bit after that, but you'd have to see Jeanette to organise that. Also let you know that the coins in the bottle appeal is now going to the Boyle Hill School Chaplaincy. Now Lyle told me before the service that the ladies fellowship did well at the stall up at the school on yesterday, and they raised a total of $440.10, which I think is pretty good. There were also some jars of relish that didn't get sold, and they're out there on the table if you'd like to buy some following the service. Now, Margaret has given me some brochures. There's one for Frontier News, a couple from Frontier News. Louie mentioned about giving gifts of a goat or something like that on behalf of people here to Uniting World, and there's some brochures about that out on the porch. So please take time to have a look at those after the service. We now come to our point in the service where we have our prayers for others. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come to you this morning as your children, and we count it a privilege to call you Father. In calling you Father, we are very conscious of belonging to a worldwide family of believers. We take comfort in the knowledge that you are not a God who is afar off, but you are a God who feels our pain and who walks with us on our journey. With both of those who have had to leave their homes because of conflict or oppression or famine to seek refuge in countries where ways of life are foreign to them and where they feel unwelcomed. We especially pray for the Rohingya refugees who have had to flee from Myanmar into Bangladesh. May your spirit bring a change of heart in the Myanmar government so that the violence and oppression might come to an end. We pray also for the aid agencies who are endeavouring to provide relief and facilities that will give these people a better future. We pray too for the victims of conflict and famine in Yemen. May your spirit move in the hearts of those who are causing the suffering. And may the aid agencies be able to obtain access to those whose needs are most desperate. And as this Christmas season approaches, we pray for those for whom it is not the happy event that most of us experience. We pray for the men and women in our armed forces who are serving overseas and for their families who will be missing them at this time. We also pray for the chaplains who minister to the inmates of our prisons and to their families. May your spirit give them the wisdom and power to offer healing and reconciliation. And with the election now over, we pray for those who have been or will be elected to govern our state. May your spirit grant them understanding of the issues that need to be addressed and the wisdom and the courage to take whatever changes are required. And we pray for our community here in Bald Hills, and especially for the children who attend the schools in our area. For those who are yet to sit for examinations, we pray that you will grant them freedom from anxiety. For those who are contemplating their futures, we pray that you will grant them wisdom in making choices for their futures. And we pray for teachers that they might provide wise guidance to these students. We especially pray for the skilled chaplain, Kylie, that you will renew her strength in providing for the emotional and spiritual needs of the children with whom she comes in contact. And Father, we are aware too of those in our community who are alone and who tend to feel anxious about their health and their future. May your spirit grant them a peace that will dispel their anxiety, strengthen their joy, and enable them to cope with change. And we pray for our own congregation here and the needs of our friends and families. We are aware of those who struggle with health issues. We pray for Laurie and for Leslie. And we pray for Jeff and his family as they support his father. And our Lord, we know that you know the deepest needs of your people. May your spirit minister to those needs, needs both expressed and unexpressed. And in the fellowship of our church community here, may each find peace and renewal of spirit. We thank you for Louis' safe return from Brazil, and we pray that you will bless his ministry as we move into this season of Advent. And may we as a congregation and individually be open to the leading of your spirit so that we might be a blessing to our community and to those for whom we have prayed this morning. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. Also, it will be the service within which we celebrate the confirmation and welcoming into fellowship or portia, and we farewell. We farewell, yes. So, Andrew and Kat, yes. So, and we will still not be a 2-hour service, okay? Just to reassure you. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. God, let us bear fruit in the lives of those around us. As the household of God, let us be salt in our communities. As the people of God, let us be light to the world. May our sovereign Lord watch over you, may our shepherd and our shield defend you, and may our rock and fortress, our judge and our hope, keep us safe and strong within his life-giving word, now and forevermore.